Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. On the line with us now, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you, as always. Well, let's start with this. Santa Rosa County, you know what? We'll come back to that. I know you want to talk about the shooting first, and I know that's the biggest thing that's on people's minds, and I thought you did a good job at the press conference. Of course, Chief Winstrom's done a great job as well, but new things, anything that you want to update us on as far as the investigation goes?
I could say, I have my press conference at 10 a.m. I think we'll have positive progress. Certainly don't want to get in front of any sensitivity of the police department, and you'll be able to hear that directly from Chief. But fact remains that we got an awesome police department and group of investigators working hard on this. We've got a great community that has stepped up and have provided information, businesses providing camera access, all of those things for us to get to the bottom of who the person or persons responsible for taking a life in our city. So I want to assure really citizens of two things. Number one, of course, downtown is completely safe. I went down there myself with my friends on Monday night. The fact that this is unfortunately and tragically violence amongst familiar people, that this was not a random situation that people may fear in a large gathering. So it was not that. And secondly, is I had the utmost confidence that this is why, as I said in the press conference, this is why these types of things don't happen here. Is
right.
Because even the worst offenders and the worst bad actors out there understand that when they do this in Pensacola, Florida, that they're going to get caught and brought to justice. So I have the utmost confidence in that. And I know we'll get to the bottom of it.
And, my job a lot of times is to read between the lines or just read the lines and interpret from them. But it seemed pretty obvious to me from what Chief Winstrom did and did not say the other day that I think because not a lot of detail about either the incident itself or the perpetrators has been released other than, what we have known. One perception might be, well, how can PPD not know what happened with all of the cameras and information and witnesses and whatever? And as Chief Winstrom said, number one, the goal is the investigation. You got to protect that, make sure to, find and identify and prosecute the bad guys. But number two, we will tell you what we can tell you when we can tell you. And I just assume that PPD knows a lot more than they're saying, and that there are reasons that they're not saying more than they are already saying, and that we'll learn what we need to know when we're going to learn it. It's not that they don't know. It's that there are valid reasons why not to say these things out loud. Is that a fair interpretation?
Yeah, I think so. Right, it's not because there's some random desire to not want to give every bit of information, in my case, frankly, to underscore how great our team is, for the share of the detail. But that would be getting our eyes off of the prize, which is to find who's responsible for this and bring them to justice, because there is sensitive information as things progress and information that can change as things progress. So goal number one, two, and three probably are making sure that we don't jeopardize the ability to bring the suspects to justice. Sometimes you can't necessarily say everything that's going on, but there's reasons for that. And again, what I can tell the citizen or the visitor to Pensacola is our team's on top of it, I expect to see continued positive momentum and progression to get this thing to where it needs to be, which is that clarity and justice.
You know, I kind of mentioned at the beginning the Santa Rosa County, a very interesting budget meeting in which, you know, Greg Brown explained that the property tax proposal that's on the table right now to vote on in November that would not have any impact on the school system would gut city and county funding across the state. And, you know, we're talking about in Santa Rosa County, 70% of all homes would become tax exempt under the $250,000 rule, which would mean that all of those people would no longer be paying directly for sheriff, which is, to me, sounds like a defund the sheriff's office proposal, but also for roads and everything, every other kind of service. Milton, it looks like it's plus 90%. And, you know, it's interesting that in the theoretical abstract, people want to save money. I get that. But they also want a massive police response and investigation, professional law enforcement when there's been a shooting downtown. And you kind of have to pick which side right. You're going to be on these things, right?
That's right. And in city of Pensacola, that doesn't have a Perdido Key or a Pensacola Beach of vacation homes, much less the grandiose explanation that's always been given about, you know, just use the money from second homes all over the state as if every county is Miami Beach.
Right.
The reality is Pensacola is 73%. So when the 250 hits, 73% of properties, of residential properties, will be paying nothing for their parks, nothing for their police, nothing for their fire. And I think I said it a year ago, it kind of died off when they tried to put language in that protected public safety, which was going to be a whole nother can of worms of how you would even overcome that.
Right.
But now we're back to, and listen, we're having to educate our own public safety employees about this. I mean, that's to show you how confusing it is, and that when you dangle the free money approach in front of so many people and say, well, why don't you take this free money? I'll tell you what I told the Wall Street Journal that called me. I think the article's out this morning. I haven't even read it yet. But what I told them during the interview at the end was, you know, some retorts to we should have this property tax relief typically center around, well, you know, just tighten your waist belt, or hey, it won't be the end of the world. And I'm like, you're exactly right. Whatever our budget is at the city of Pensacola, we're going to put a budget in a book. We're going to get it, bring it in front of council, and get their approval. The delineation is, our citizens are not going to like what that budget looks like. Mm-hmm. And right now, zero people in this state know the answer to that. They don't know what they're going to lose. They don't know what they're sacrificing. So you get the carrot in front of the free money approach, yet you right now, your mayor, your city council, your county commissions have no clue what the net result is going to be. And so when in 6 and 9 months you lose services, or it takes longer at a city to get a permit, or whatever impacts that are going to take place negatively, I can just assure you that the citizens are not going to like their level of service. And that's going to be that's the difficult part of this conversation, but it's a difficult reality. And lastly, I will say on law enforcement, I haven't gotten one email this past week. You know what I've gotten? I've gotten texts of encouragement. I've gotten from people all over this community how good a job our team's doing, if they need anything, from business owners. I have not gotten one text saying I'd like to cut the police budget by 23%. I haven't heard that this week. And so it's a good reminder that when the sky's not blue and we want to feel safe and be safe and bring people to justice, this is a moment as a Pensacolian right now to understand the counterbalance of what we're talking about and the reality that we're in.
And by the way, just in case there might be somebody listening to this and misunderstand, or they're new to the show, or they just, you know, whatever, they know just enough to get a part of the story. I think both you and I agree that if it could be done where we would have a smart approach to eliminating and replacing or shifting property tax burden gradually, some kind of a step down over the course of maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years, and doing it wisely,
right.
I'm all for it. I'm in. It's literally this particular approach that has me so concerned. And that, honestly, all the people who are going to have to deal with the consequences of it if it passes have no ability to say even what will happen, because there are so many unknowns about it. And again, I just, you know, because it's just it's poignant this week, because obviously, you know, when you need law enforcement, you need it. And we have needed it, and we have it. And I would hate to have a situation where we need it and didn't have it. We're talking to D.C. Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola. Hang on for just a second, Mr. Mayor. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Nice to talk to you, Mayor. As we take a look at our roads, good news, everything is running smoothly, except for Highway 98. If you're running eastbound right before you hit the 3 Mile Bridge, it is backed up from about the Anderson Institute Baptist Hospital for a couple of miles through the Naval Live Oaks Nature Preserve. So it is backed up quite a bit. That's a slowdown, and that's the only one that I see. If you see something else, certainly let us know. 437-1620, Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Candy. You mentioned it very much in passing, D.C. You mentioned that interview with the Wall Street Journal. They had called you specifically about the property tax thing, right? That's what they were interviewing you about?
Yeah, exactly. Just about, you know, how local governments are responding. And, yeah. And to underscore what you said, that's exactly, again, I don't know what's in the article or what's quoted, but during the interview is what I told them is, we should always be modernizing our approach. If you can show us the analysis of how we can get to a cut, I'm there with you. Meaning that I can go back to my staff and my city and these departments and be confident that with your taxpayer dollars, we are prepared to do the best we can to fill gaps, to make cuts, all of those things. But that's a different assignment you're giving a mayor or a county commission or a city council when you know it's been thought through and that there's a strategy behind it and there's some science behind what we're about to do. What I can guarantee you right now, what you are voting on has absolutely zero science behind it, zero. This was concocted over a long weekend, and the biggest sponsor of it said they're not going to sponsor it anymore.
Right.
The biggest sponsor of it also said, hey, that you shouldn't have to rent your house. Well, we're sitting here, I'm on this radio interview right now, and you're going to have to pay school board. So you are still renting your house no matter what happens. Do you feel better because it's money that goes to the school board if they came and repossessed your house? You're still in the same situation right now versus what was really floated out as this hyperbole about how great this cut's going to be. You'll never have to rent your house again. Well, you already will be doing that. So we were very clear about that, and Wall Street Journal folks weren't even aware that about CRA bonding and what happens to that. It's been bonded against future property tax dollars. So there's just so many questions around this, and I really urge people to do their research of what we're talking about, because not really, frankly, much research has been done to get this to voters right now.
Right, absolutely. And we got months to talk about it, but and we certainly will. By the way, I want to remind you that this interview is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with a legacy Lambert moving systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. Mr. Mayor, one of the things I wanted to talk with you about related to the shooting, obviously you talked about it in the press conference, the joint one with Chief Winstrom the other day. I had said that this incident could have happened at some park, at somebody's house, at some club. It just happened to be on the 4th of July, technically the 5th of July, after a big event downtown with a lot of crowds. It also had a lot of young kids. But I did not see this as connected to those things particularly, except through sort of chance and luck. But the conversation is now turning to curfews and, you know, curbing late night bad behavior, especially by minors, which is what curfews would allow. You said you're in favor of curfews. I'm in favor of them. Both the chief and the sheriff are in favor of them. I don't want people to assume that just because we have a curfew, we won't have any bad things happen. But it does seem like that's a better approach, especially with the rising concern around teen misbehavior and flash mobs.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with the practical conversation of what does a 14-year-old need to be doing by themselves with no supervision out after midnight.
Yeah.
And listen, I think in real practice, curfews like this, curfews are not going to be that officers are going to be in every corner of the city standing outside of a movie theater waiting to catch somebody to walk into their car, which, by the way, wouldn't be covered in the curfew anyway, but you get my point. It's not a gotcha thing. It gives our law enforcement the ability that when trouble is happening, when you have 20 fights and when you know that you have a scenario, and it's not really even to over-criminalize this in any way. The idea is to be able to stop things before they get amplified and have some remedy to be able to get a 14-year-old kid or 13, or in the case of the other night, maybe even 11 and 12 years old with no parents, get them back to where they need to be, which is at their house.
Right.
We're absolutely going to explore that. There is a state statute on the books already that kind of, as I said, is kind of a template and individual counties have kind of worked off of that. If there's any nuance, Miami-Dade has one, for example. So we're going to absolutely explore that. And yes, and to be clear, I think most people know that, but maybe not everybody. Obviously, we were talking about a curfew for minors. This is not a curfew for everybody.
Right.
This is not a hurricane or a, you know.
It's not martial law, D.C. Reeves style.
Yeah. Yes.
Unfortunately,
not everybody understood that.
Right. And it's a nip it in the bud. If they are gathering, it gives you a chance to disperse, like in the kind of pre-crime behavior. But it also, if it gets internalized, then, you know, young kids who shouldn't be out at night anyway don't go out, and that avoids those kind of problems as well. I see it all those ways. We're almost out of time. I did want to give you just 2 seconds anyway. The Safety Bollard funding came through, so $1.2 million from the state. So we'll be looking at putting in the safety bollards around Palo Fox so we can have an enhanced safety against the kind of thing that we saw in New Orleans, right?
Yeah, and that's where the spirit of that was. After New Orleans, we want to make sure, especially protecting an investment, and if we want to increase walkability and pedestrian users on a new Palo Fox Street,
right?
Certainly want to keep them as safe as possible. So we appreciate Representative Andrade and the legislature for getting it funded. We're going to go back to the drawing board. We did the Cadillac of here's everything possible. That was kind of in the low twos. But this has always been the intent is let's find how much funding there is. And then what is practical. And so our police department and public works will work through that. And we'll have some updates here in the coming weeks.
Outstanding. We always like to end with a kind of a lightning round or quick questions for you. The first one for you is it too cold in the grocery store?
No, it's difficult for it to be too cold for me in most places. Yeah, so maybe an airplane is the only time I ever can feel that way.
All right. You guys have dogs? I can't remember. Do you have dogs?
Yeah, we got one.
Okay,
yeah.
A dog on the bed or not on the bed?
Well, my dog Leonard woke me up twice on the bed last night, so I would be
dog on the bed.
I'd be a lying politician if I told you that we had that the type of discipline around this house where the dog is in the actual
bed. All right, and this is one going back to from Monday that I asked the question: what's the most America movie? Like the movie that if you know somebody from another country wanted to understand America, you'd be like, here, watch this; it'll tell you.
I've been led down this road because I've seen like two articles about it, but it's hard to disagree. Is The Sandlot? Have you been seeing that? Yeah, I've seen a couple articles. I was like, you know what? That actually is. It probably is. If you had to give somebody a briefing of what America's like, or at least a young kid, or Americana, that might be it.
No, that's a pretty good answer. You are killing me, DC. All right, DC Reeves, as always, thank you so much for the time. We'll look forward to the meetings next week, the agenda review in the city council meeting. Of course, we'll talk to you next Wednesday, and we'll listen to the press conference later on this morning. Thanks, as always, for the time, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks, Andrew.
All right, Candy has traffic on the fives.
As we take a look at our roads, the one thing that we are seeing is the slowdown on Highway 98, and this is eastbound as you're heading maybe about to go north on the that 3 Mile Bridge. It's right around that area. Just like yesterday, very, very slow around the Andrews Institute, along Naval Live Oaks Nature Preserve, and that line is just getting longer. It's stop and go traffic, and it looks like most of it is stopped right now. That is the only slowdown that I'm seeing, aside from your usual areas of construction. 437-1620 if you see that accident or slowdown this morning. It's 756 News Radio 92.3.
Need to move across town, across country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BBV accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving.